go ahead and get started.
Judge, and I just pray you give them peace that only you can bring. Lord, we have problems all over this country and the world right now with this coronavirus, and I just pray, God, you divine and intervene and stop this from spreading. We thank you for this day and your many blessings to be with our commissioners and our judges. And just let this meeting flow in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thanks everyone for coming out today. So we'll go ahead and get started. Item number one, we're going to open court session for comments from court and citizens on items which may or may not need to be placed on the following week's agenda for consideration. Each person addressing the court may be limited to 3 minutes. Remember that as always, we cannot respond to those items unless they are on the agenda as an item. We'll go ahead and get started. I'm going to let the rest of the public go, and then we're going to have a special guest here today that we're going to let have some time, a little bit more than the 3 minutes, but we'll get to that. But I'm going to let everybody else go first. So we have anyone from the audience who wants to speak? Address the court. Yes, sir.
Judge, Commissioner, briefly on the Jacob 3 building, I did contact the consulting firm that we had do the assessment, and they're in the process of they're going to get three contractors that are specialized in that field to put some bids in, and we can choose from those bids. So I would look to have that, I would think, by next week.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the audience? Okay, and then we'll go to the court first, and then we'll come back. So anyone from the court have anything they want to?
John?
Yeah, I just want to... You may want to speak to Commissioner. TxDOT had removed the only on-ramp we had on Interstate 10 at Simmons Drive for a period, I think it was yesterday, and they quickly scrambled and built an on-ramp there near the Horseman store. So if you went by there yesterday and discovered you couldn't get on the interstate, it was probably not a very well-organized job on that, but anyway, they've got that on-ramp, the temporary on-ramp there now, so if you go that way, you are able to get on the interstate now. So things have changed, and so, and I know you probably saw some stuff in the news about MacArthur Drive. We'll be talking to TxDOT and seeing if that's really what their plan needs to be. So a lot of conversations with TxDOT on the news today.
February 2nd is the last day to sign up to register to vote for this election. If you know anybody needs to be registered to vote, please get them to sign up and get it in the mail by February the 2nd if they're wanting to vote in the next primary. And I hear that our beloved Astros got a new old coach, Dusty Baker.
Dusty Baker is back.
This Thursday night, the Bider Chamber of Commerce will be having their annual banquet. It begins at 6 o'clock, the mixer, and the 6:30 begins the events. Anybody welcome to come.
All right, and as we kind of move forward, I just wanted to make a mention of, I mentioned it already on radio, but I wanted to talk about it in court, just in case the sheriff wanted to make mention of it also, but they had a surprise jail inspection, and as expected, as always, Sheriff, your group does a great job, and those surprise inspections are always kind of, you never know what to expect when you get one, but it was great that we had one, and it was a good one. I wanted to let you have an opportunity if you want to talk about your staff and how, what they do, and we appreciate it. I will tell you that.
I'll wait until I actually get their compliance certificate in my hand.
Okay.
Then I'm going to put it on the agenda accepting of the minutes, and at that time, I could speak about it if that's okay.
That's fine. I just wanted to make mention for it as we got forward to it, because I know a lot of people put a lot of effort into making sure that happens, and that's a big responsibility in the county, so thank you.
Where's the clicker?
Mm. There it is. Yeah. All right, and like I said, as we mentioned, I was going to go back to someone. We have a special guest today, and any time that he comes, he brings gifts, so we always want to make sure we give him plenty of time. Mark Viator with Jefferson Energy Companies, and he gives us his yearly update and stuff on jobs and
there's no power
things that are that they do out there, and so it usually takes more. It's going to take more than 3 minutes, so we wanted to hold you to last and let you have that opportunity.
You got the magic touch.
Mr. Viator, the floor is yours, so thank
yes,
you, sir.
Well, I think each of you have a presentation, and I'm trying to get this thing fired up. What I want to present to you is our yearly certification update of our tax abatement compliance for two tax abatements, one for 2014 and another of $250 million, another tax abatement of for 2018 of $150 million. And so let me get this thing. And what I'd like to say is your commitment to Jefferson to have this tax abatement has yielded you a nice return. And I will show you as soon as I get this thing fired up.
Always got to have the techno wizard in the house.
The man with the plan down there. Blueberries are blooming.
Blueberries are blooming. Yes, yeah, somebody needs to.
Oh, that was good.
There we go.
Hey.
You had it.
All right.
And for a second.
It was there for a second.
It was there, and then it went. It's like it's not getting a good connection to our...
Director of Government Affairs and Special Projects for Jefferson Energy. I will go ahead and get started and come back to some of this as it comes up. What I start with is showing you in 2013 what our property looked like. It had nothing on it. And then I show you 2019 and December 2019. To show you what all is built on it now. And then what I do is I go into our two tax abatements. The first tax abatement, 2014, was Chapter 381 Economic Development Agreement that I received through the Orange County Economic Development Corporation and the Commissioner's Court. And that was for a 10-year 100% abatement. It began January 1st, 2014, ends December 31st, 2024, and the expenditure requirement was that of $250 million. Spent in 2013 to 2017, we spent $256,262,000. We were required to employ, we were required to create 75 jobs. As a result, as of the July 2015, we created 80 jobs. That's full-time positions. In addition to that, we had 239 capital contract positions for a total of 336 positions. And our pilot payments each year on slide 18, we showed that we paid $300,000 in 2015 and then $125,000 each year after that, including today for 2019. And that total amount is over $900,000 in Orange County received. Our 2018 abatement began March 1st of 2018 and goes through 2028, and it was for $150 million. And the amount spent in 2018 was $81,660,000. Our employment required, we were required to add 20 jobs and for a total of 95. To date, as of December 2019, we've added 194 jobs and 295 capital contract jobs for total jobs created of 489. Now, not only do we pay the pilot payment for the 2014 abatement agreement, but we also pay for the 2018 abatement agreement. And so today we're to present you a check of $200,000 for the 2018 tax abatement. As we track staffing of the employment positions, we divide it into all, as I said, full-time and contract employees. We break it down by Orange County, Jefferson County, and then the local seven-county region. And then those outside the area, we give you that information. I've given you a one-page spreadsheet that shows you that. But as you look at the full-time staffing, we currently have 39 Orange County employees. And when I say Orange County, that includes Jefferson employees plus our terminal staff of contract operations, which are full-time positions. We have a company by the name of PGS, and these people are full-time. They don't come and go. They're day in, day out. We also have contract maintenance that's nested, that's full-time. We have additional people for other contract maintenance, rail maintenance, contract security, as well as IT. And so you can see we currently have 194 staffing total of full-time positions, and of that, 39 of those are for Orange County. The next page, page 23, has capital contract staffing, and you see the different companies that have been working in our facility, and we have 42 Orange County people working in this capital contract. The next page is our taxes and pilot payments. You see, for each tax year from 2014 through 2019, we have paid a total of, for those years, a total of $16,290,260. And so when you think in terms of each year that continues to increase, if you notice, went from $783,000 to $1.2 million to $2.5 million, $2.8 million, in 2018 to $4 million, and then this year $4.6 million. We've broken it down by the summary of taxes paid by year to taxing entities, Orange County. And I want you to bear in mind, even by giving us a tax abatement, Jefferson Railport 1, the investment that we made in 2014 was not abated. So each year since 2014, you continue to get taxes on that, on those assets. And so and what I want to show you is, notice Vidor ISD, we paid right at $12 million to Vidor ISD. And Orange County shows $887,000. That does not include your Jefferson Railport 1. No, I'm sorry, it does include it. And then with the pilot payment of the pilot payment in addition to that of $1 million. And then to Orange County EDC, $112,500. And in addition to that, Orange County's received on page 26 our storage inventory tax, another $864,000 that have been paid to Orange County as a result of our terminal being there. The next page, 27, is this is what I want to say to you. Prior to 2013, and if we had the pictures, you'd be able to see, there was nothing on the property, no assets, no jobs, but because of the vision of Orange County Commissioner's Court giving two tax abatements, we now have a total of 194 full-time positions, 295 capital contract positions, for a total of close to 500 jobs created because of tax abatement, 81 of those being in Orange County. In addition to that, our payments for tax years 2014 through 2019 was $1.125 million paid in pilot payments to Orange County and Orange County Economic Development Corporation. Our taxes paid to Orange County taxing entities have been $15.1 million. Our inventory tax, $864,000, for a grand total of $17,154,330. And so today, as I normally do, I'm here to bring you some checks. And the reason I do this is because I want you to see, and I really hope the public understands, the tax abatement. People say, well, what's the benefit of tax abatement? Well, first of all, we were not here. You had no assets, no jobs created, but because of the vision of this commissioner's court, now you have jobs that were created, almost close to 500, close to 200 full-time positions, and you have a tax base that is paid over and over each year to the tune today right at over $4.6 million. And so when you think in terms of today, I have your taxes are $4.3 million, pilot payments of 2014 and 2018, right at $292,500, and then the administration fee to Orange County Economic Development for a total of $4.650980 million. So on behalf of Jefferson Energy, I would like to thank you for your vision, because there, if we continue to grow, we hope that we can come back to you one day and say, please put faith in us to give us another opportunity to ask you for a tax abatement. Because what happens is, we're in a business that takes pennies. Pennies mean a lot. And so if we can get some relief up front for the capital investment of investing, you know, $500 million, it helps us to get on top of the water, so to speak, so that we can make a profit. And so today I have checks for Orange County Economic Development for $32,500. She's over there. I think you want that. And then, that's why?
I'm dialing you up right now. It's just me.
Thank you. Why?
I'm sending you a thank you.
Pilot payments of $180,000, $112,500, and then Orange County. We have so many taxing entities, and all together try to get a check to get it to work.
Yeah, it's up now.
Can you go? Can you go to the first part?
As soon as we got the money,
yeah, she got her.
Get that money back out.
Yeah.
But anyway, it really means a lot to us.
Well, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I will tell you that. Thank you, sir. The importance of companies and businesses that want to continue to invest in Orange County, we know is how important that is. Like I said, you know, that first abatement was 2014. That we're 6 years into the 10-year abatement. So at the end of that, so four more years, and the full amount of that rolls onto our tax rolls,
right.
which will be even more money to us. And that's important. That if you start stuff today, or what they did in 2014, we see the full benefit of it at the end of the program, because you ain't going anywhere. You're going to stay here, and hopefully to continue to build in Orange County. And we want you here. We appreciate everything that you do. We certainly appreciate $4.6 million, and it's great to have that. And thank you for your continued work with that group and keeping us informed. So thank you.
Sir.
You always.
We get a group down here.
Yeah. Somebody want to hold some checks, or I just got them. I would just do it like this. So we got,
yeah. And the check to you, that would probably be better.
There you go. Want to do it like that? So
just one of those.
Well, but you need to turn it around. Yeah, there you go.
That's hard to do.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you. Appreciate
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Apologize for the technical difficulties. It worked 2 weeks ago perfectly. I don't know what's going on.
Sure, at least you get that lined out.
Yeah.
Well, we can afford to now.
Yeah, we can afford to fix it now, so all is well. So I just turn around, as usual, like at my home, somebody hands me a check, and then I turn around and hand it to the person that really needs the money. That takes care
it's
of it.
It's going to take
my
the
wife
money
at
anyway.
Home, or Christy here.
Thank you.
So thank you. It's okay. Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have Mr. Viator in town. All right, well, this Mr. Viator.
Well, thank you.
That Mr. Viator. We have to be.
I want to acknowledge Shanae Schick with Port of Beaumont. We are with the Port of Beaumont on our property is not Jefferson Energy's property. Our property is leased through the Port of Beaumont, and they've been a great partner, and we really appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good seeing you, Shana.
Does she want to speak?
Do you have anything you want to say, Shana? You know, we'll give you an opportunity to speak if you need it.
I'll say it quick.
Come on.
Step up to the podium.
So if anyone knows anything about the...
We need to get to the podium so they can pick it up. So thank you.
I'm sure y'all are very familiar with the public-private partnership that we're in with Jefferson Energy. But what a lot of people don't know is that we initially invested about $50 million in basic infrastructure, and they've invested more than $500 million, like Mark said, to build that property to create jobs and promote economic development in Southeast Texas. And it's one of the strongest public-private partnerships in our area. And it's also an industry standard, so it's something that we tout nationally as being a really strong, beneficial partnership, not only for the region, but the state. So we're always excited to work with Jefferson Energy, and I'm glad to be here today. So thank y'all.
Thank you.
And thank you for that partnership. Like I said, we've all been on that property multiple times, and it's just great when we get to see that kind of growth take place.
It grows by leaps and bounds every time you go out there. So
yes. All right. So just so a matter of record, I want to mention that Commissioner Beecham is not here today, so we have that on record. So we're doing our votes with Precinct 2. So she's ill, and we wish her the best. So item number 2, discussion and possible action regarding items related to natural disaster Imelda.
Judge, Commissioners, on the as far as the debris is concerned, we are now complete. They have removed all of the debris that was on top of the cap for a total. There was the daily average was 15 loads a day at 1,134 cubic yards per day. With that, for a total of 23,657 cubic yards. The court. I'm not sure if that needs it to be an agenda item or a voting item or not to approve the restoration of the cap. They can't do that right now because of the ground being so wet, but they are going to remove the road that was put in, the Board Run Road, and it'll be up there. As soon as it dries out enough, if that's the wish of the court, for them to go in and finish the job with restoring the cap or go another direction. Yeah. As I stated earlier on it, there they gave us, when I asked them for a cost, roughly what they spent during Harvey, which was around $14,000 in restoring the cap. And that's hauling in dirt, doing the machine work, and regrassing.
Yeah. Did we disturb as much ground this time as we did during Harvey?
No.
So it'll be less.
I don't want to promise. Right.
So that is an action item that we can take under this if we want to go ahead and get that as a record. So
moved.
Second.
And that's motion allow Ashbridge to do the restoration of the cap.
Okay. That'll, I'm sure, be several weeks down the road once it dries out.
Yeah.
I know. And we're still under the permit with TCEQ at this point.
All right, so I have a motion by four and a second by three to do the to allow Ashbridge to do the restoration. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
All right. The other thing I have on Imelda is an update on the road situation. Myself, Clark, Trey, Morgan, and Michelle met with the FEMA reps on that last week, I believe it was. And they asked that we get the court's approval anyway to go with what they're looking at. And just to kind of explain it, these guys are the field inspectors or the field inspector supervisors that are coming up. And when the county can agree with what their findings were, then it moves forward up to start the reviews, if it would be. And right now they're completed one and two. And I think on precinct one, I want to say, Clark, please chime in if you really need to add on that. Precinct one, I believe, is around 47.1%, I think, of what was turned in that they said was Harvey related. And precinct two was at 52%. And he said the trend looks like they're all going to be around that 50% mark. Some a little above, some a little we don't have three and four yet. They're working on those as we speak. And Trey did some, he went back and looked at some of those documents and resubmitted, or Morgan resubmitted it actually yesterday. I want to say it's around 48 roads that were turned in that we think should have been added to that. That probably won't change the percentage very much at all with the number of roads that were there, but it may change it a little bit. So it looks like about that 50% range of what we claimed and what they awarded, which is
a little bit higher than we were anticipating.
Yeah, actually. We were thinking actually it would be lower with the way we were doing. That's no guarantee. It still has to go through that long review process before it gets it. But this is the first step. The county has to agree with what their findings are and back and forth. And
we've met with them several times. We started out at a much lower number than that and kind of went back and forth with them, Joel and his group, and to try to get us up to the 50%. And so I don't know that we can reach for much more than that. And the longer we can delay it, the longer that it delays actually being able to start doing the road work. So
We are where we are.
But it's up to the court, so if we want to continue to move forward so that we can start that, at least that process.
Do you need a motion to accept?
We do.
So moved.
Second.
Anything to add to me?
No.
Okay. I have a motion by one. I have a second by three to accept the findings for the road repair. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So that motion passes.
Thank you, gentlemen. That's all I have on number two.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm just writing some notes. All right. Anyone else on Hurricane Imelda or natural disaster Imelda? Not, we'll move to item number three, discussion and possible action regarding items related to Hurricane Harvey, including updates on Orange County buildings, properties, and roads.
Judge, Commissioners, Clayton Park. The office is, we've got about 2.5 more weeks of work. We're painting doors and door trims right now inside the building. Put the air conditioning in today. The humidity level is a little bit too high to do any vacuum on the charged air conditioning yet. Hopefully we can do that tomorrow. The pavilions, two of the pavilions are completed as far as all the posts. All three pavilions are done on the metal on the chimneys. We started right after lunch on the right before lunch on the third pavilion. We got about 7 more posts left. Once we get finished with the posts, then we're going to concentrate on the water issues at the park to fix the water leaks, get the water back at the pavilions. That way we can rim. Biggest thing is the Mauriceville office. D.D. Terry, that works for Scarborough, called me on the 21st. They went inside the building to start scoping out on materials, and they noticed there was some mold on the ceilings. This mold came up from the time that the county took the tarp off the flooring for the contractors could be able to see all the structure that needs to be done inside the building. And we never covered it back up because we felt as though the work was going to move on. But anyway, be that as it may, they notified us, letting us know that there was mold on the ceiling. I notified a company in Nederland called Restore Service Group. I met with a lady named Jessica on the Friday the 24th to look at the building. I'm waiting on some numbers back from their company to submit to the court on cost for the building. It depends on how far the mold impregnated into the sheetrock, but more than likely all the sheetrock on the ceilings will have to all be removed. So when I get all these figures, I'll submit it to the court and let you know. Teresa does know, because I was informed last Tuesday before court, Commissioner Viator was in the office, and she does know, she's aware. There is an issue. We don't know exactly how much it's going to cost to actually take it all down.
Okay, so if we did, I do have a question. So I know, yes, me and you talked about it, and if we don't actually do the rest of the mold remediation, I guess, treatment of that, because it's going to have to come down anyway, and then you're talking about the suspended ceiling, that we could probably do that cheaper anyhow, right?
Yes, sir.
So
can I give us I looked at the building when I was with Jessica over there. And consider the building used to be Mauriceville State Bank. And on one side of the building, it's got a whole bunch of light fixtures because that's where their workstation was for all the public. So it's real lit right there. So if we have to take all the sheetrock down, the cost of putting sheetrock back up and taping, floating it, and texturing and painting it is a lot more than it would be just going inside there and put a drop ceiling through the whole building. And as far as cost-wise. So if the company, depending on the prices, on what they are quoting me on, we're working it out by them coming in and doing a floor inside the building. That way they can put dehumidifiers in there and dry out the building and give it a positive pressure on the inside and treat all the lumber inside the building. And that's one price than a price without putting a floor in there. So it's going to vary. We're working on different scenarios as far as trying to get rid of the mold inside the building and also capitulate all the material inside there. Okay. But it would be cheaper to put a drop ceiling back inside the building. Okay.
Is the mold just on the ceiling? Or is there?
Yes, sir. There's no wall. There's only a few. I think there's 6 walls in there with 4-foot sheetrock on them. Those 4 foot up to the side of the Paul Strip. There's water underneath the building right now from all the rain that we've received, and it has everything it needs to make it grow.
So we need to get a floor in it.
Yes, we do. And
so there's no floor in it at all?
No, sir. It's just got four joists.
They stripped all that out.
So
there was when the building was built, they put four joists down and they put plywood on top of it.
Right.
And then they built the walls on top of the plywood. When we did the dry out on the building, they cut all the floor out. Well, there was nothing to hold the walls up.
So
we went inside there and redid the floor joists where the walls could be, low bearing walls could be supported. But then we covered it up.
So the flooring, because that was part of the Scarborough's bid, was
yes,
to replace
sir,
the flooring. So once they get the sheetrock out, whatever that cost is going to be to get this sheetrock out of the ceiling and that little bit of the walls,
we get
that tear out cost. Then at that point, could Scarborough come in and replace the floors after y'all have treated it? Because it does do any good to treat it without, but still no flooring.
Yeah, but we're probably going to have to go out for quotes again because it's going to change the price on the building. So I've already been in touch with Rick Scarborough as far as his performance bond and all that stuff. He's done contact with insurance. He can get his funds back. I think it was a little over $4,800. They haven't bought any materials for the building yet. I told them to put it on hold because I don't know what they're gonna find, how much they got to take out, and it's gonna have a new scope of work is gonna have to be actually done because of what's gonna have to be replaced, and they're gonna have to go out. We'll have to go out for bids again. It's just because it's not. It's gonna change the dollar amount.
How deep is the water underneath the building?
There's 3 inches in certain spots. That's it. We tried to do it. Philip did, I think it was in December. He went and dig the dirt that we bring out there for people to do sandbagging. All the sand, we spread all that sand. Then he scraped some of the dirt in front of the handrails on the right-hand side of the building to try to keep the water from running back underneath the building. I know the floor is open right now. Probably the best thing to do is get some sand and go inside there and put sand inside there.
Kind of where I'm going is that we have an opportunity with no floor in there to build that ground up underneath the buildings. Because even if you floor it, it holds water all the time. You're going to have issues down the road.
Yeah, more than likely.
So it seems to me this would be a good opportunity to go ahead and try to build up that ground up underneath the building.
Well, I think what we need to do is figure out how much money we're looking at as far as what the contractor is going to tell us on this, because once I submit the pricing to y'all might say, well, is it worth putting all this money into this building? Because right now, the building's from 1990. We bought the building 11 years ago for $110,000 with land. Right now, it's going to cost about $139,000 to fix, and whatever price for the mold remediation. And it's all going to be about dollars which way we want to go on this.
Tear it down.
Still probably a cheaper option to redo the building when I remember on the prices.
Yeah, because if I looked at some blueprints on modular buildings, and I had gotten some pricing way back when, they were running around $80,000, $85,000, depending on square footage. But that doesn't include any land work to be done. Then, plus, you have to tear down the building, move the building, go up, build the grade up higher, then put a modular building up. Do you put it on blocks? Do you put it on runners? Do you put it on a slab? All that has to be considered of which way you want to go, and dollar amounts make a difference.
Sheriff, is there a possibility we can use inmates to help build up that ground underneath there?
Yes, I go out and look at it and bring the person that kind of oversees the inmates, and let's make it something that they're capable of doing, but we'd be glad to help.
Okay, because I know we've got some pre-bagged sand that the bags are probably going to last so much longer anyway. It might be something we can utilize some of that and build that up underneath
that. So it doesn't hold water.
Yeah.
Forward.
And we can see all the low spots because there's no floor. So
it's an opportunity time
sheriff,
right now.
Let's let the sheriff go look at it and see what we got. Thank you, Sheriff. Appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
All right, you want us to go ahead and proceed on that, or you want to wait on
prices for the mold remediation?
Well, wait on, see what we're looking at on mold remediation.
I'll call Jessica back up and see when time frame, and I'll shoot y'all an email.
Let me ask you a question so I can make sure I'm clear. So if we carry out that sheetrock, how much are we remediating at that point?
Nothing. There's no mold on any of the studs or anything. It's all on the ceiling.
So can we just go tear out the sheetrock?
Well, we can't.
We can't? Because...
We have to have... We're commercial, we're county, we're government.
I got you.
The company has submitted findings. We have to have certificates to prove what we did with the product.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay.
Disposal of and all that.
So once we get that, but I can't imagine that, you know, once we get a price on that, hopefully they can get us something pretty quick on that. So I know what we're looking at. Is that something that we're going to have to let a bid on before we do that?
Can that be part of emergency services? Scope of work?
Well, we've run into some issues at the Sheriff's Department as far as some issues in the building where they stored some products that, a lot of stuff that had leather. Leather seems to, you know, grow certain stuff and all that. And we hired a company out of Groves to come and do some remediations inside there and just paid it out of buildings and grounds and took care of it.
Okay.
I mean, I really don't know what the dollar amount of it is. Okay. But
So let's get us a price on that then. So if we can at least get a price on it, we know we're gonna, you know, if we can get that fairly quick, then we can look at what we need to do moving forward. And then at that point, the sheriff can have looked at it and said whether they can help us or not. And then we'll kind of put those two things together in the next week or so. And then we can, you know, with one of our next updates, we'll have an idea of it. And he'll have an idea where they can do it. Because I think if we're going to move forward with the building, then we need to get that sand in there. And if we're not going to move forward with the building, then we won't use that. We'll go a different direction. But we don't know that till we get that price.
Yeah, I don't want to get sticker shock.
So, quick question just to clarify for me. We got to wait on the bid for the mold remediation. What is the part that changes the Scarborough's bid replacing the ceiling? Is that why they have to rebid it?
No, the ceiling was going to stay the same.
I mean, what if Scarborough had to rebid?
Well, that if we take the sheetrock down, okay, how much is it going to cost for sheetrock?
So
how much is it going to cost for ceiling? That $138,000.
That's what I'm saying. That's what's causing the rebid of the contract.
Yes, sir, that would be correct.
Okay. And by replacing the ceiling.
But, I mean, I don't understand why we couldn't treat that separately.
Because we can, because they are on the TIPS contract, and this is a contract.
We could just do the add-in without having to rebid.
Can we do
that, that's
change order?
What I was wondering.
Do a change order, basically?
Okay.
I mean, because I hate to have to start the process all over. I mean.
Okay.
I'm good.
I'm good with that, too.
Okay.
So let's look at that. And then,
it'll make the work go a lot faster.
We just need to wait until we get the price on taking that sheetrock out.
We've been talking about this building for far longer.
I'm going to be putting some screws in it. All right.
All right.
So we're good on that one.
Anything else?
Not unless you had something else.
I'm good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you.
Thank you, Connie.
Judge, Commissioners, on an update on the hazard mitigation program from Harvey as far as buyout and elevations. I was talking with Denise back and forth on that. She's still reviewing that contract, and that should be ready by
day or two. I've reviewed it substantively. It is almost fine. There's just a few little tweaks that need to be made.
Okay.
And once that's complete and her review's complete, the judge can sign it, and y'all already approved the award, and then we can get the trailer on board to begin the process.
Okay. Great.
Any questions on that?
Thank you.
That's all I have.
All right. Anything else? If not, we'll move to item number four, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the monthly reports from the county treasurer for month ending December 31st, 2019 and recording in the minutes of the court. A, approval of investments in the amount of $706,612.11. B, approval of interest earned to date in the amount of $31,484.50. C, Treasurer's Report of Revenues Received and Dispersed in accordance with the Local Government Code 114.026 and Affidavit of Approval by Court. This report will be available on the county's website for viewing. D, Pledged Security Collateral for a total of $34,445,285.02. Summary as follows. Wells Fargo Bank, $24,562,140.43. And First Financial Bank, of $9,883,144.59. Ms. Corey, unless you had anything to add?
No, I'm not sure I have any questions.
No.
Take a motion, Jim.
Right. Second.
I have a motion by one, a second by three. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Right, now we have some documentations to sign. So I'll take a few minutes.
Well, this time in normal.
That is that one. Mr. Trapping?
Do you have one coming back?
Mm-hmm. You got one coming
oh,
back too.
Oh, she's got it. Never mind. I thought it was sitting over there.
Just cause.
She's not gonna sign it just cause.
I know why I can see that. I don't know what to do with it. All right. Item number five, discussion and possible action regarding filing in the minutes of the court, County Treasurer's Quarterly Investment Report as required by House Bill 2459, Public Funds Investment Act. This report is for quarter ending December 31st, 2019, and will be available for viewing on the county's website. And I should have y'all's copy of that.
So moved.
Right. I have a motion by three to accept.
Second.
Second by four. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Item six, discussion and possible action regarding payment of bills approved by the county auditor as per attested listings and also specifically as follows. A, $2,300 to Memorial Funeral Home from the General Fund 001-111-54290 for indigent funeral expense. Item B, $3,450 to Claybar Funeral Home for the General Fund 001-111-54290 for indigent funeral expenses. Item C, $21,652.83 UTMB from the General Fund 001-111-54235 for contract payment due January 2020.
And also for your approval on January 28, 2020, from the General Fund $112,915.27, Road and Bridge $65,739.69, Mosquito Control $13,530.83, Adult Probation $4,074.70, Airport $1,301.96, Consolidated Accounts $3,140.15, for a total payment $200,702.60. In addition to this, we also have the state criminal costs and fees quarter ending for $228,718.21.
Motion by one.
Second.
Second by three. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item 7, discussion and possible action regarding approval of an order for an emergency expenditure amendment to the 2019-2020 Orange County budget for additional storm Imelda expenditures, including but not limited to expenses incurred in moving debris. And that is around, you know, the discussion we had about having the debris moved off and then the cleanup and the capping. All that. So
make a motion.
All right. I have a motion by three.
Second.
Second by one. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
And I have to do that by hand. Sorry, I have to do that by one at a time. So,
All right.
So we'll start with we'll start the other way. We'll start with Commissioner Beator.
Aye.
Mr. Rockerford? And I'm going to have to make a correction.
I don't think I'm on there.
Yeah, you're not.
You got to do it twice.
We have John Gauthier on there twice. So we'll make a correction to that for Commissioner Precinct 3 will be Kirk Rockerford. Right, now that I've corrected that on there, you're an aye. All right. Teresa is absent today. Mr. Trahan?
Aye.
And, Judge Gauthier is an aye. All right. I'll sign that. We'll pass that down. So we won't be able to hold you responsible for that money now.
Yeah. Good time of the year.
It's a good time of the year. Like I said, I had a motion number one, second by three, and all in favor of that.
Oh, it was one.
We did one deal, and it was 4-0. So, all right. Item number eight: discussion and possible action regarding allowing Sheriff Merritt to purchase a Scotsman ice maker for Orange County Jail. The current ice maker is very old and has quit working. The purchase requires court approval, as the price is a capital outlay amount. The jail budget 743 has funds to cover the cost of the ice maker.
Judge, just to put on the report, I realize we're getting all that money. I'm trying to keep it out of contingency. But since it's already worded that way, we reviewed our budget, and we have some room in there and in another line item to go ahead and purchase. Just to give you a little history, back in May of last year, the bin itself right there, and at that time, the motor in the ice maker on top of the bin was working. We knew it was old, but it was working. So we was hoping it would make it to the end of this year so we could request a capital item, but unfortunately it went out. So to try to keep it out of contingency, I was asking for the court's approval to do it, and then the next item will show where the money's coming from.
Second.
All right, I have a motion by one, a second by three to do that. All right. And it's strategically placed on the agenda so that you didn't know we had the money till after. So.
I'd have only known this
all,
last week.
It's all strategic there, Sheriff. And then so I have a motion by one and a second by two. Second by three. Discussion and any further discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Number nine, discussion of possible action regarding approving a line item transfer. Sheriff's Office from 001743599999 other of $2,724.17 to 001743575795 equipment between $2,000 and $4,999 of $2,724.17 purchase a Scotsman model C0530MA1 ice maker.
Second.
By one, second by four. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Item number 10, discussion and possible action authorizing the Greater Orange Area Chamber of Commerce to use the Orange County Administration Building parking lot for Mardi Gras parade staging on February 15th and 16th of 2020. Ms. Shasso.
Yes, thank you, Judge and Commissioners. We are here once again asking to be able to use the parking lot to stage the floats in, and we will park some vehicles behind the admin building over there. I have already reached out to Sheriff Merritt to get the approval to be able to do that, so it doesn't conflict with any of anything at his jail there for visitation or anything. I have submitted the insurance where we have named as additional insured, and I'm just asking for the approval to be able to use that.
Right. And I did have a conversation with Mr. Slacom with our road and bridge about having his contact with the City of Orange to have that parking lot swept pretty quickly thereafter so that we don't have
nail issues and screw issues and stuff right. in the parking lot. So, and he said he would take care of that.
So moved.
Right. I have a motion by three.
Second.
Second by one. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
And now this is your, you need this letter.
Oh.
If you would just swing by and make a copy for you. We will have a copy for our records. Thank you.
By the way, the inmates really love it. They get to listen all the
changing music. There you go. That's when we see all those flashing lights, the colored lights over there, we'll know what it is.
We never had no problem that night.
There it is, yeah. They just sit and listen.
Maybe I'll start piping it in.
Sure. Yeah, do it all the time. All right. Item number 11 is discussion and possible action regarding an interlocal agreement between Orange County and the City of Orange for the county to contribute hotel occupancy tax funds up to the amount of $100,000 for the City of Orange Pavilion Project perimeter fencing. The use of hotel occupancy tax funds for this type of pavilion project is authorized by Tax Code 352.111 as amended in the 2019 Senate Bill 2208. Possible action may include authorizing the county judge or judge pro tem to execute the interlocal agreement. And I put that on there. And like I said, this is something we've discussed many times about us helping with the county, helping the city with that project out there and our contribution to it with the use of our hot tax funds for that, and we got special legislation passed to designate us as a county that could do these type of agreements, and that's what that's for.
I think that's what I broke, walking. So moved. Right.
Second.
Yeah, motion by one, second by three.
Yeah.
And we're not covering the cost of the walking booth. That was, you know, we didn't make him go up and down. Somebody
wouldn't slow down. I don't know who that was.
Yeah, I don't know who that would be. All right.
Ida.
Yeah, it was going to play it on Ida. It's Ida's fault. Hey, making Johnny walk so fast. Yeah. All right.
Make
so a motion by
period.
One, a second by three. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you for Denise for putting that together for us. We appreciate that. One of the many requests you get.
No comment.
Item number 12, discussion and possible action regarding a MAP endorsement agreement between Orange County and Liberty Marketing Company. The agreement involves no cost for the county and will provide up to 2,000 free copies of the MAP. Possible action may include authorizing the county judge or judge pro tem to sign the same. On this one, we're not going to take action on this for Buzz okay, because I think there's some terminology that we're still not real comfortable with and how they worded it. We cannot enter an agreement of an endorsement of that with a private entity that's actually going to be selling the maps. So and there's we requested a change in language. They do, then we'll put it back on. If they don't, then we won't take action on this.
So
everybody's
pass.
Okay with that.
So this company, like the one I've worked with one before, and they didn't sell them. They passed them out for free. They sold endorsements on them.
They're not selling the maps themselves. They are selling the ad space
right.
on the map. But they are requesting our endorsement so that they can say that the county has partnered up and is engaged in this with them, and we can't do that. The
right.
Constitution prevents us from doing that for one business over another.
Right.
So,
okay. All right. So, questions on that? Item number 13, discussion and possible action regarding approval for the Parks Department to buy back one of the flooded lawnmowers that TAC has already issued full payment on. TAC has advised that the mower's buyback cost will be its $750 salvage value.
Good afternoon. We have it's a little bit different than when I was in court last week. I think you received this insurance information from Missy. We have an opportunity to recover. We have some recoverable depreciation on both of these lawnmowers. And if we salvage one of the mowers and keep one of the mowers and a request to recover depreciation, we will actually receive and refund $917.65. And without kind of going over this, the mower that we want to keep, the salvage value is $750, but we don't have to take any money out of our pocket. We will attempt to get this depreciation refunded and actually get a refund check.
Everybody understand that?
No.
Okay. We may have to restate that again.
We have the two mowers. The funds that were received from the insurance company was $8,399 on one of the mowers. So the maximum recoverable depreciation value was $3,099.67. And if you replacement cost, we're eligible for $750.66 in recoverable depreciation. Okay? The second mower, again, the recoverable depreciation is $916.99. You add the 66 cents to that, and that's where I came up with the $917.65. Missy will have submit with the invoice that we have from the purchase of the mowers. She'll submit it to the insurance company.
For the depreciation.
For the depreciation. And the $750 will come off of that total. And then they'll refund us the rest of it. And the rest of it will be the $917.65.
Now y'all.
And then we have to.
And I'm thankful for Missy too. She brought that up. I didn't know we had depreciable an opportunity to recover some of that money because of what they said and what we had to pay out was different. So I'm thankful for that.
For a short period.
Well, it is running. They do have salvage parts. They can keep it running, but know that we won't sink any money into it. We do have two that are running, but we could use the third one. So we'll use it as long as it keeps running without any maintenance.
And we have some parts that we can.
We do have some parts.
Until we run out of parts for that particular.
That's correct.
I guess as soon as this one breaks down, we can cannibalize this one as well.
Truly.
So moved.
Any more questions? Right.
I'm just making sure I'm just listening to our group over here, making sure we're not in any issues. So we're good.
Any more
questions? Okay.
No, we were trying to figure out the
process.
So.
The process. Okay.
And Missy wrote it out, and I can definitely send it to you, but she put it all together for us.
Yeah.
I can do that.
All right.
Second.
A motion by one, a second by four, to approve using the depreciation cost to use of the two mowers to buy back the lawn mower $750, but there will be an overage payment in the appreciation amount, so we'll receive more money than we're paying out.
Again, okay. We're going to request to have the depreciation refunded to us, okay. And that's the eligible amount is $970.65, okay. And we hope it's that amount.
All right. So I have a motion by one, a second by four. Any further discussion?
We hope it's that amount. We don't know if it's that amount.
But Missy says that's what we can request. She said generally they do, but it's not a firm.
We don't do the purchase of the salvage mower unless we get the request.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be more comfortable if the motion said to do it as long as we got that.
As long as we got buy the mower only if we got the depreciation value.
Correct.
Refunded.
Okay.
So you need to amend your motion.
No motion to buy the mower. On us getting the depreciation amount listed.
And I'll second that.
All right. Now we're good. Right. Any further discussion?
Mm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. All right. Item 14, closed meeting held pursuant to Texas Government Code 551.074 to deliberate the appointment, employment evaluation, reassignment duties, discipline, or dismissal of a public officer or employee, or to hear a complaint or a charge against one or more officers or employees. Ms. Grimioff?
I would ask that the court be cleared, save and except for myself, Clark Slacum, Lori Ardwin, and with recording, please.
All right. It's closed at 3:05.
Yours don't get comfortable.
All right, we're gonna go ahead and open this one back up at 3:59. And move to the next agenda.
I recommend no action.
No, Sean, and then we'll move to item number 16, closed meeting held pursuant to Texas Government Code 551.071 to discuss with Assistant County Attorney matters regarding pending or threatened litigation.
I would ask that the courtroom be cleared, save and except for myself, Sheriff Merritt, John Tarver, Captain Howard, and no recording.
All right. So we're closed at 4 o'clock. Ready? Okay. We'll open back up at 4:20.
I recommend no action at this time.
Motion.
Second. Motion by 4, second by 3 to adjourn. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Court is adjourned.